Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Yeah, not to rip on our big voice guy, but ain't nobody care too much about the Packers right now, bud. It's all about the Milwaukee Bucks. Top of the East, 42-14. They've got one more game tonight against the Pacers before they go into the All-Star break. Now, the Indiana Pacers, they sit at 38-19. And while everybody wants to keep talking about the Big Four, the Bucks, the Raptors, the Celtics, and the Sixers, even with an injury, the Pacers are still right there. They have not gone anywhere. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he covers the team for Fox Sports Indiana, Jeremiah Johnson, the pre- and post-game show host on their broadcast. Thanks for a couple minutes, man. How you doing?
Hey, Jeremiah.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. These are good times in Milwaukee. We were there first week of the season, and you guys were in the baseball playoffs, and now you're making plans for a deep NBA run. Life's good, right?
Yeah.
Don't jinx it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember when I think of the Pacers, I think of the Bucks went down there and lost a hard-fought series with the Pacers in a Game 5 like 20 years ago. The Bucks had some pretty good runs with the Pacers back then.
Yeah, they had some really good games. The Pacers won NBA Finals appearance in 2000. They had to come from behind or at least win a very close game, I think, against the Bucks in that first round, or they don't even make the NBA Finals. So there were some really good games. Of course, fans around here watch a lot of Bucks games back in the day when Glenn Robinson was there, and can remember some good matchups, and maybe we'll see a playoff matchup again this season. And I'm with you. I've been kind of reaching out on Twitter just a little bit, because every time I read an article or I hear someone on a national podcast, they mention Big Four, and they conveniently leave out the team that's kind of solidly in third. It gets a little frustrating, but I guess we're used to it here.
Well, I'm guilty of writing them off when Oladipo got hurt, and you think, all right, well, the Pacers, they had such a nice start that they'll still make the playoffs, but they'll get bounced in the first round by one of these teams, and yet they've won six in a row. They're still very much alive for, they're only 4.5 games behind the Bucks. You win tonight and you have a good second half after the All-Star break. I mean, everything's still in play for them. So how have they been able to continue to win despite losing their best player?
Last year when Victor Oladipo did not play, this team was 0-7. I think that's what people kind of remember. They remember last year's team was so reliant on Oladipo. But when he was out in November and December, they were 7-4. And they played, you could argue, better team basketball during the stretch that he was out than when he came back. I mean, there were some obvious, understanding that they weren't going to be able to win at an elite level without him. But after the four-game losing streak when he was injured against the Raptors, and you knew he'd be out for the season, where I think everybody just had a little bit of a cloud over, it was just difficult because you just had these grand hopes and they just kind of, you said, oh, it's not going to be this season. They went and visited Victor in Miami after his surgery, and they haven't lost since. And I think they're just moving the basketball pretty well. They have guys, every player on their team almost, it seems like, is playing at a career-best kind of season. And as Nate McMillan said yesterday, they asked him the difference between this year and last year without Oladipo, and he said, we're a better team. And you look at Miles Turner, he is significantly better this season than he was last season. Thaddeus Young could be playing the best basketball of his career. Bojan Bogdanović definitely is. You've had guys that nobody outside of, the central Indiana area really know that much about Thaddeus Young and Bojan Bogdanović, and they've each been named an Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Now, I could argue, Giannis probably should have won the award for last week, but Bojan, contributed to the Pacers winning five straight games, and I just think that everybody's kind of bought in, and they're a unique NBA team that's not driven by one superstar right now, and they're all buying in, and we'll just have to see how long it lasts.
Bogdanović, yeah, he's kind of had a more important role, I feel, in the offense with the Pacers since the Oladipo injury.
Oh, absolutely. He's over 20 points in five of the last six games. And, I can remember when the team signed him a couple of off seasons ago, the same time that they acquired Victor Oladipo. And I just kind of shrugged my shoulders a little bit. I was like, oh, yeah, that guy, he used to you know, knocked down some shots with the Nets, and I remembered the Wizards acquired him at the trade deadline. And even last year, I feel like he just tried to fit in a little bit. He's kind of naturally quiet. His demeanor's not really outgoing, but he has kind of come out of his shell a little bit this season. He's been funny. You can tell how much he enjoys being around, and he's embraced the opportunity. He plays all summer for Croatia, and he's the go-to guy. So he's used to that role, just not in the NBA. And so with Victor out, Nate McMillan told him he's going to diagram more plays for him. He didn't want him to put too much pressure on himself, but you know, he's a confident guy. And if you're going to give him an extra few shots and a bigger role in the offense, he'll gladly take it. And, hey, he's in a contract year, as so many of these Pacers are. So they all know if I have a few more opportunities, it's going to look better in the offseason.
Jeremiah Johnson, pregame, postgame host with Fox Sports Indiana. The Pacers still on a pretty nice roll here. They've won six in a row, 38 and 19, 4.5 behind the Bucks, who will go visit the Pacers tonight. Regular season, one thing. Playoffs will be different. There's been a lot of people up here, Bucks fans, that, you know, we've got this monkey on our back that they haven't won a first-round playoff series since 2001, and so you wonder how will regular season basketball transition to a seven-game series basketball. Are the Pacers equipped for a long playoff run, or are there weaknesses that can be exposed, do you think, throughout the duration of a series?
Yeah, it's an obvious question, and I think, you know, I don't like to go back to 2001. I just looked at the last three or four seasons where some of these guys were around, but for the Pacers, it's such a new group. I mean, 3 years ago when they lost to the Raptors in the first round, Miles Turner was the only current Pacer on that roster. And, you know, to your question about can they make a deep playoff run, without Oladipo, even when they started this recent winning streak, they had a hard-fought win against Miami and one against New Orleans, and they really struggled down the stretch. And that's where I feared in a close playoff game they would be looking for Oladipo, and I didn't know who would step up. And that's where I do think the signing of Wesley Matthews can really help. It's rare that you sign someone, you know, that had been waived or cut, and they start for you. And Matthews isn't maybe the same player he was. I mean, you are well familiar with him with his days at Marquette, but I think he has that veteran leadership. He likes to take shots with the game on the line, and they needed someone in that spot. So before they picked up Matthews, I would have said it'll be a struggle in any close game, and we'll have to see how he fits in, but he has embraced the opportunity, hit a couple of big threes late in the victory against the Hornets. I still think they probably will miss Oladipo, but their defense is such that they can be in any playoff series. Number two defense right now in the NBA, and I just think that if you play that kind of defense, you'll be in every game, and you'll have enough time here in the next couple of months to find your new go-to guy, to figure out how you operate late in close games without Oladipo. Nothing would surprise me. And they have a few guys on this team. I mentioned Thaddeus Young, Darren Collison, now bringing in Matthews. Some guys that realize this may be their last best chance at a deep run. So they're not willing to sacrifice this season and say, Victor's hurt, we're not going to try to do anything at this point. I think last year they thought they were the better team against the Cavs in the first round. They lost in a seven-game series. If they get to a first-round series, I give them a chance. You know, it'll be dependent upon who you play. And right now, if they can get into three, awesome. If they can get 4 or 5 and they're the team with home court advantage, I give them a fighter's chance.
Seen stuff on social media that maybe the Pacers in the offseason would be interested in Chris Middleton. You know anything about that at all?
Yeah, I mean, you can't do the same thing.
You don't work for the team, do you?
I'm not. What'd you say?
Do you work for the team?
I do work for the team.
Then you probably can't say anything. That's tampering.
The team in Fox Sports. Tampering. Yeah, I'm speaking generalities that they they want to acquire someone to, you know, even before Victor got hurt. I think the plan this summer was, you know, to bring back some of these guys on the end of their contracts, but to find another star. And whether Chris Middleton's that guy, I'm not for sure. But, you know, you could certainly put a list of the available free agents and say point guards and wings are maybe the two area spots where this team could use some help. And so if he fits, he fits. But, you know, who knows at this point.
The Pacers could have a nice run. Obviously, I would think that you're rooting somewhat for that. But these other teams, these other four teams, the Bucks, the Raptors, the Celtics, and the Sixers, who do you think is – It's their East to lose. Who do you think is most likely to, I'll just say, face Golden State in June?
You know, I would have said through December, Toronto, just because I thought that they were the scariest team when completely healthy. I'm starting to wonder just a little bit with the moves at the trade deadline and just you kind of hear little things. Kyle Lowry, sometimes it feels like he's a little moody and he's never really been that happy. The team traded DeMar DeRozan and then they lost some key bench players when they acquired Marc Gasol. I just feel like it might be an issue for that to completely work, and I don't know that Kawhi Leonard's the kind of leader that's going to you know, take that team and carry them. I mean, he's a great player, but I tend to think right now the Bucks, because I saw him Pfizer for him first week of the season, and I was completely impressed with the way they could spread the ball and shoot, and with the, what Giannis is able to do. And signing Mirotić to me was a bigger move than the Raptors signing Gasol. And the Sixers, I just feel like they're so up and down. They've got some young guys that have yet to really experience big success, and it seems like every time they lose, it's like the world is coming to an end. So it feels like the Bucks are the even-keel team, and as long as Giannis stays healthy, that's probably where I would go right now. But, you know, every night you can watch a game. It's like Sunday, the Sixers beat the Lakers on national TV, and people were ready to crown them, and then last night the Celtics beat them. When the Pacers beat the Lakers last week, nobody talked about the Pacers. It was just what's wrong with the Lakers. So, you know, don't count out the Pacers, but I'd say the Bucks right now have to be the favorite.
Jeremiah Johnson, Fox Sports Indiana, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you in the playoffs.
Sounds good.
He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Jeremiah Johnson. You can find him on Twitter, JJFS Indiana. I did okay there, but then I let a little second of pause there. I could have done better on that one.
Thought it was fine.
Yeah, but then I left a little second of...
You know, Dan Patrick.
We'll edit that in post.
Dan Patrick, there was always... He always made a joke because he had an uncomfortable goodbye always with Rich Eisen when he had him on.
Yeah.
There was always a... For some reason, and Dan's a pro's pro, but when he would say goodbye to his guest... there'd always be an uncomfortable moment, and that would be the only guy there would always, they'd joke about it because there was always an uncomfortable moment between those two.
I've told you now like six times on the show today that I talked to my grandma on the phone last night, and when I say goodbye to her, that always happens. It's always goodbye, but we always say it at the same time. Goodbye, see you, love you, but.
Okay, when you talk to somebody on the phone, which nobody ever does these days, are you the first to say goodbye if you're on a long-winded conversation?
I mean, the sample size is too small.
It is.
I'm never on the phone.
It is. You know, there's some people, your friends, that you'll get on the phone line, you'll be online forever, and then it's like you got to end it.
But I think typically I end the conversation first more.
Okay.
Again, small sample size.
I think I'm the same way.
But I like to get in and get out
of
it.
I do too.
Like a truck stop beauty.
I do too. It's like if I'm going to talk to anybody, it'll be... Like on my drive home to Lomira.
Yeah.
I will not be like sitting in my house talking to anybody.
Ah, it's terrible.
Because that's a waste of time.
What a waste.
But if it's on the road, that's fine.
The only time I talk on the phone is on this show.
We talk to people every day on the phone. That's
on the
right.
Phone,
we probably do more phone talking than most people do.
That's pretty much it. Jeremiah joins us again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Call Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community in 1935. So we have got an eye on the East, and it's good to get kind of some information on the Pacers because everybody is sort of ignoring them. But the Eastern race, you know, you got your top, let's throw them in. You got your top five teams, the Nets, the Hornets, the Pistons, the Heat, the Magic. It's going to be interesting for those 7 and 8 seeds. Are you like paying attention at all to the West? Do you care much about the West? Because right now I am fascinated by the West 8 seed. You've got the Lakers, who are 2.5 back of the Kings, and the Clippers in there too. Lakers losing in Atlanta last night. And they've got the LeBron factor. And we talked about LeBron about yesterday at this time, that he could join any team on the East and they're going to be the Eastern Conference favorites. But with the Lakers right now, they're losing games. They're losing games without LeBron. They're losing games with LeBron. They lost a couple in a row here. They obviously... had that tough one against Indiana. They did get the winner against Boston the other night. But to go to Atlanta and lose 28-29, you wait for the week where LeBron just kicks it into gear and they win every game for 2 weeks. But I am watching that with a very interested eye.
No, because I just assume it's going to be Golden State. And yeah, I see Golden State atop the standings. I don't pay any attention.
So you don't care like where the Jazz are or the Nuggets?
No,
or the
because
Thunder.
I'm just giving the West to Golden State.
Yeah.
I'm crowning them to champs. So whoever they play. I mean, I do want to see the Lakers. I would be curious to see the Lakers in there with LeBron as the 8th seed just to go up against Golden State. But other than that, the West, I'm handing that one to the Golden State Warriors. The top five teams in the Eastern Conference are the teams I really like. Boston and Philly. Watching them play, I mean, yes, or the Pacers and the Bucks tonight. Give me the top five teams in the Eastern Conference because I think this is a hell of a battle right here. You have five really good teams. So I would say just the Eastern Conference race, but no, nah, Golden State is the only team. And I'll watch them if they're on TV, Golden State, because I just think they're phenomenal and you know what they're doing. But no matter who they play, they're winning that series.
You know what? I just I was looking at this the other day. If the Lakers don't make the finals, it will be the first year since 2006 that either the Lakers or LeBron was not in the finals. So every year since 2006,
oh wow, okay,
either the Lakers have been in or LeBron's been in.
Mm-hmm.
Every year.
I'm trying to remember a time when the Lakers were bad.
Well, last year.
Well, I mean, before that.
Oh, like really bad?
Yeah. I mean, a stretch where they were bad. Last year, they were terrible. We knew that, but I mean, it's like, I mean, a stretch where 2 or 3 years, 4 years that they were bad.
Well, they've been bad. They haven't had a winning season in 5 years.
But how bad were they 2 years ago?
26 wins, 17 wins.
The Lakers?
21 wins. Yeah, they've sucked.
That many wins? I think it was that bad.
They've been bad.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, that. So it's been 3 years running with those guys.
They've been bad. The last time they were that bad for that long was, wow. Never. This is the worst they've ever been.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. When was the last time that they've been this bad?
Wow. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM. The Fan, don't forget Perkins, home of the Bart's Breakfast Bonanza, where you can get 3 eggs, 4 pancakes, 4 pieces of bacon, and hash browns. Again, 3 eggs done however you like. I like to get them a little runny, so I go over easy. Dip them all over those hash browns. Get the pancakes and then the bacon, or you can do sausage. But you get all that food, couple of plates for you. It only costs $6.99. Just $6.99 at Perkins for Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. Go in there and get that today, maybe this weekend. It is only available for a limited time, so you do have to get in there sooner rather than later. But it is available at least through this weekend, and then we'll see next week how long they're going to keep this going for. $6.99 for all that food at Perkins, any Perkins throughout Southeast Wisconsin. 3 eggs, 4 pancakes, hash browns, and 4 strips of bacon at Perkins.
Of execution as a team, but I, you know, as a player, you look back on stuff that you did personally. You know, there's plays that I, you know, could have finished stronger or took my time more, and obviously the free throws were possessions where we got nothing out of it.
Ethan Happ, he and the Badgers lose yesterday, 67-59 to Michigan State. Tough final few moments down the stretch. I think it was 6 minutes without a field goal, 5 minutes without a point, so they certainly had chances to win last night. Badgers do not win. That's 2 in a row now they've dropped. And then Marquette does get a victory last night, 92-73. Last night was a big college basketball night. You had LSU and Kentucky, 19-5, Duke and Louisville, Duke with the comeback. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath, our producer. At one point, I was texting with Horvath, and he said, I'll have to talk to you later. There's so many games on right now, my head is spinning.
Yeah.
Was that as a college basketball fan, Horvy, or is that as a gambler?
No, I've always been a big college basketball guy, way before I was a gambler.
There were some good finishes last night.
I have the 3 TV set up. I had a 4 TV set up, gave my kid a TV because of March Madness a couple years back. I've always wanted it. You know, growing up, my dad's like, that's ridiculous. Plus, you were only getting the tournament games on CBS back then,
mm-hmm.
whereas now you have True TV, TBS, TNT. So you didn't really need more than, you know, you didn't need multiple TVs.
You have the 4 TV set up right now?
Now it's 3. I gave my kid one of the TVs so he could.
In your living room?
What do you,
in the living room, yeah.
So do you have like Apple TV where you can stream the stuff?
Yeah. Actually, Apple TV works pretty good because I have that, and then I have the DirecTV Now app, and then I have all the sports packages. So last night I'd have like Duke on a screen. You know, like some people on Twitter, I'll post if there's a good football game on. I'll be like, yeah, you know, this happened. Somebody will be like, oh, why aren't you watching the Bucks? And I'll be like, look, buddy, I am. I just have 3 TVs going on right now, and this is game 20 of the regular season.
See, I'll do the TV, and then, like, the iPad, I'll have a game on.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, I got the 3 TVs. You know, at first, my wife was like, this is a little too much. For, like, a week, she was like, this is just way too much. I can't concentrate with all this going on. And then I was watching two games at one time, and like Drop Dead Gorgeous or something was on.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I had the games on mute just watching them, and she watched her TV show, and she was like, oh my God, this is a great idea, Ryan. Now we could spend time together.
Oh, well, see, there you go. You've solved your marriage.
Yep.
Sometimes you'll be flipping around looking for sports. I've done this. I flipped around looking for sports, looking for another game, and then all of a sudden you come across like an old TV show or a movie or some sitcom or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you'll just get completely sucked in, and you'll forget all about the game that you're watching.
Yeah, I feel like I watch Goodfellas and The Departed at least once a week.
Yeah, or if like Hoosiers is on, you could never stop watching it. If Hoosiers comes on, I'll just like continue to watch it and forget what I was even watching before that.
Meanwhile, I was so bored watching the Badgers, I called my grandma.
Wow. So it takes being bored with Wisconsin to call Grams?
So you called your grandmother even though you're going to spend like 48 straight hours together in a car?
Yeah, come April, I'm driving with her from Arizona to Wisconsin. Should I chronicle that on our station Facebook page?
Yes.
Well, there's got to be maybe a little video there. Yeah. Sure.
Would you like to meet my grandma?
Yes.
Yeah, she's been on my old radio shows before.
Okay.
Does she want to sign Chris Middleton to a long-term deal?
Oh,
no, yeah, you know what? I called her last night. She goes, are you watching the game? And I said, the Badger game? Because she's in Arizona. Yeah? She goes, no, the basketball game. I said, no, I'm watching the basketball game. The Warriors game. You know, she's, my brother works for the Warriors. Yeah. She takes it to another level. I don't think there's a game she misses.
That's awesome.
She loves this team.
Okay.
I said, Grandma, what about, don't you ever watch the Bucks? Oh, how are they doing? Grandma, they're the best team in the league. Oh.
Well, how old is your grandma?
78, 9?
Okay. So she's,
I don't think she hit 80 yet.
Don't want to say young, but still she's got it going on a little bit there.
Yeah, my grandma watches a lot of hoops. My great-grandma actually got me into college hoops because I'd go over there, we'd watch Big Ten hoops. And it was like Channel 8 back in the day, and you'd get like Ohio State, Indiana on a random Saturday. But
with your great-grandma?
Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, in my family, the women, I mean, all my uncles are basketball coaches. Just basketball's huge in my family, but all the women like hoops. And they like football and they like baseball, but football and baseball are tough to watch because they're long, they're drawn out, and they're boring, whereas basketball is like nonstop action.
Yeah.
Like if you take your wife to a football game, well, Lambeau's fun no matter what, but if you take her to a baseball game, she's probably going to be bored in like the third or fourth inning. If you go to an NBA game, though, there's on-court entertainment. So, like, you know, during the timeout, there's a guy, like, picking up a chair, like, with his nose or something crazy. There's the gymnastics going on. And there's nonstop action, dunking, three-pointers. So I feel like basketball is the sport to go if you're taking a girl.
Well, college basketball, I mean, you're in and out in less than 2 hours. 2 20-minute halves, and it's time to head for the exit. But, see, I think, though, if you go to a game with a woman, don't expect her to be breaking down the game and watching every play. You got to talk with her. She's going to have a good time. She's there for the atmosphere most of the time. Not saying
don't
women.
Generalize. There's a lot of women that listen to this show.
Yeah, don't generalize.
Doris Burke.
Yeah.
She knows more about hoops than most men.
Of course she does.
So, yeah, I'm not generalizing. But
no, but you know what I'm saying.
Did you guys know? I don't think I've told you either of you this yet.
Your brother works for the Warriors?
Your wife likes going for the atmosphere, doesn't she? I mean, she's not there to break down a game. She's going there to have fun, right?
Right, but don't count out women. I'll have you guys know that for women ratings, radio ratings, 18 to 34, we showed up at number 19.
Wow. And there were only 17 radio stations.
How about that? Women are listening, so let's not count them out.
One thing you need to be
careful.
We're
number 19!
I don't know if you guys saw the video. There was a video in this guy. He was clearly rich, and he was at the Spurs game with a girl he shouldn't have been there with. He obviously had some money. She was extremely good-looking. And LaMarcus Aldridge walked by to inbound the ball, and she was just staring him up and down right in front of this guy. So don't, if you got the money, don't put your girl on the floor, because
why?
LaMarcus Aldridge or Giannis or one of these guys.
Like she's leaving you for LaMarcus Aldridge.
I mean, this girl, I saw the video.
Come on.
She was hot.
Yeah, I got a quick story on that, actually, really quick. So when I was interning with the Chicago Bulls, I was in a visitor locker room, Philadelphia 76ers. I won't throw the player's name out there in case he's married or something, but he was young at the time. He said, they have like handlers. And he said to his guy, he said, he's in Chicago, so he's like, I want some of these Sprinkles cupcakes. Go run and get that. A bottle of Dom. And then the girl behind the basket, whatever, has this jersey on, was like, you know, trying to talk to me. Go give her my number. Go give her my cell phone number. See if she wants to hang out tonight. Guy ran over there, did it for him, got the number. One other time after the Blackhawks, like these guys don't live real lives, Chuck. They could literally come in here and steal all of our wives right now.
It's true.
Was at a Blackhawks celebration party after they won the Stanley Cup. I will throw this name out there, name drop. Jonathan Toews was there and he was leaving with two girls after they won the cup to get in a cab. Like he went and started talking to one of the club owners for like 10 minutes and the girls just like wandered off because they were overserved a little bit. He just found two other girls, got in the cab and left with them. Barely even talked to them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So no, do not bring your girl around.
We call that move
athletes.
The Freeman.
Yeah, I don't worry about that. The one
two
thing
in,
is, though,
two out. That's the Freeman.
DiVincenzo would there, steal your girl.
There are guys. There are guys who are sitting at the end of the bench at in the NBA who will tell the trainer or not the trainer necessarily or like a team manager, hey, you see that girl over there?
Yeah,
go over and give her my phone number. I've seen it done in the NBA. These guys who would never play. Do this all the time.
I do that when I'm at Perkins. I have the waitress come over and I say, hey, see that 65-year-old woman over there?
Yeah.
Slip her my number.
I did that at the Q Club of Wisconsin when me and Baby Tausch were hosting the draft party. I was like, see that girl over there? Give her my number. And then I remembered I was married.
That's great.
Chuck and Winkler were served up by Perkins. Hey, today pitchers and catchers are reporting to Arizona for the Brewers as we speak. We'll check in with Tim Allen, host of our post-game show next.
Thought you'd seen every burger deal.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Bucks Pacers tonight. We'll have you covered. Jeff Orlowski, the Polish pipe bomb, on the postgame show tonight following Bucks Pacers, brought to you by your local Pick and Save stores where Wisconsin saves on groceries. So plenty of basketball to discuss. Over the last week or so, Badgers losing, Marquette winning both last night, Bucks in action tonight. But let us not forget, pitchers and catchers are reporting today. So you're going to hear a lot more from this guy in the coming weeks, months, and hopefully all throughout October. Tim Allen, host of our baseball postgame show, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Al, what do you think of, when you don't see Bryce Harper and you see Manny Machado remain unsigned, okay, and you see Dallas Keuchel unsigned. These are three top-level guys. Does that bode well for a franchise like the Brewers when there's obviously some sort of collusion going on in baseball where these owners are tired of giving long-term contracts and paying $500 million to guys? How do you see that?
I think, Chuck, it's more concerning on the other guys. You know, the high-end guys, there's always going to be pretty high-end negotiations. So, that I get, that it's going to take a little time. That's a huge decision. That's a decision for these guys in terms of Bryce and Machado that, they've got to, dissect all the details, the family, the long-term, where you're going to bring your family to go to school, are you going to relocate, things like that. That, those I get. And plus from the organization side, to float out $150 to $250 million. That I understand. What is concerning, and you mentioned the word collusion, I don't know if it is, but definitely a landscape change in terms of free agency, because there's some, 80 or 90-odd free agents still out there, and we saw this last year, too, that, why the waiting game, and you're seeing some of the guys, a guy like Wade Miley just said, no, okay, fine, I'll take the deal. But these other guys just sit, and they sit, and they sit, and that I can't quite figure out yet. So we're seeing a definite free agent kind of landscape change in baseball, for sure, the last 2 years.
But it's almost something that the Brewers have been benefiting from, because they've been able to, David Stearns, he's seeing the way that baseball is going, where nobody wants to pay anyone anything. And the Nationals did offer Harper 10 for 300. He didn't want that. He wanted more than $30 million per.
And more power to the Nationals on that one.
So the Nationals did offer him initially. He said no. Now nobody will offer him a big one. Nobody will offer Machado this big one yet. So what the Brewers do is last year when it's slow, they say, all right, well, we'll bring Kane in. And then this year they were able to figure it out with Yasmani Grandal and get him at least on that one-year deal. So I think you got to credit David Stearns that even though this isn't good for baseball and ultimately – it will probably end in some sort of strike or lockout or at least heavy negotiation at a table where everyone's yelling at each other. If that's the way it's going, you have to kind of move with the ocean, and I think Stearns has done that.
He has, and you're right on the money, Bart, in that it does benefit the lower payroll teams, because now these free agents are going to get a little jumpy, and maybe it's to the point where, you know, the owners and just the entire payroll structure is like, man, guys, look at the average payroll here, and you know, you guys are playing a baseball game. I'm not gonna chastise any player for accepting a bunch of millions of dollars. I would never do that. But you know, from the other side, you know, that's a lot of money for playing a game of baseball and flying on great aircrafts and staying in great hotels and eating great food and, you know, being set for life and your kids are set for life. Maybe I don't know if it was a conscious effort or not, but maybe it was this unwritten or unspoken thing that we're going to bring this thing down to earth here.
All right, looking ahead to the season, are you comfortable with the way the infield is situated right now with still a question mark, I want to say, at second base and Shaw over at third, or would you rather them go out there and sign Moustakas and move Shaw back to second where we saw him at the end of last season?
There is a little bit of go-between at second and third, and you're right. But that actually is an advantage for the team that they do have that option open.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be just bridging the gap to Keston Hira? And that, I have a sneaking suspicion that's what it is. And Keston Hira hasn't played one game at the AAA level yet. But if he comes out, guys, in the first, you know, 30, 40 games or so at AAA, and just the bat is major league ready, the bat to ball skills are there, obviously, I don't see why you wouldn't move him up and just, as long as it doesn't take up a year of service time, move him up, put him, insert him in that lineup and let him go. I mean, special seasons, special stories, that could be one of them for the crew.
I'm reading all these projections, and we've talked about some that the Brewers are projected as low as 79 wins, and then you see the Pocota rankings that they do like them. They've got the Brewers at 89 wins, and that should be enough to win the NL Central. The Pocota rankings, I believe it's on Fangraphs. That might be a different one. I might be getting them confused. But they think that every team in the NL Central is going to win at least 81 games, so everyone will be 500 or better. They're a hard team to sort of project. They're a hard team to look at. And last year, again, even if they win the division at 89 games, last year they won 96. So when you look at these rankings, for me, I am fearful. I am fearful that the Cubs win the division, even though they haven't done much, that the Cardinals have gotten better, that the rest of the division is better, that a lot of guys had a lot of good seasons last year that maybe they won't be able to recreate. But then I'm falling into that same trap, Tim, where I'm doing what everyone's done the last few seasons, and that's been doubt them, and then they win 10, 15, 20 more games than expected. Without the homer hat, you know, without the fan hat, is this team good enough, as they are, to win 90 games again?
Yeah, I stood in line last week at Harrah's Casino and had some cash in my hand, and I'm betting the over, and it had risen Bart to 87.5. So you know they're starting to get a little respect now that the dust is starting to settle a little bit. There's no knee jerk reaction of, wow, Goldschmidt went to the Cardinals, so we need to, you know, downgrade the Brewers a little bit. You know, the Reds are coming on, so we've got to, you know, give the Brewers a little less respect here. The Cubs are still a 95-win team. 87.5, that's not that bad. Even if you falter from the 96 that they won last year to as you said, you know, the 90 range or 89, 91, you're still right in the thick of things. And really what it comes down to is, does this team have, you know, it in them down the stretch to get hot, because you have to have that as well. And man, they were stinging hot last year in September down the stretch. It was an amazing run. Would we expect that again this year? I don't know about that hot, but again, get on a roll, lots of smiles, you know, playing loose, you know, handling the pitching staff and just developing their own personality. I think so. I think they're fully capable of that. I don't see you know, how they were downgraded that much. If anything, they're a little bit better.
Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Okay, the pitching staff, I don't know if you saw this, the Giants, Madison Bumgarner, there was some idea floated out there by Bochy that Bumgarner was going to be one of these guys who came in the third inning. They were going to start relievers on opening day. What's that?
He said he'd walk out the door.
He said he'd walk out the door if they started the reliever and then brought him in the third inning. Do you think this is, the Brewers started this thing last year. They didn't start it, but they thrived on it. Do you see that the Brewers might go down that same route again this year? Not that they'd have anybody walking out the door, but they would, maybe trying their innovative way to win games again.
I think so, Chuck. I do. And in large part, and again, I'll delve into this in a few weeks when I get to Arizona, but I think it's a combination of we believe in that philosophy, third time through the order. It's the numbers are staggering, that a pitcher falters a little bit. It's between that, the numbers, and it's between the personnel that they've got. And so if you've got a bullpen that's rock solid, why wouldn't you, you know, I won't use the word tax the bullpen, but lean on the bullpen a little bit more to cover, you know, an extra 2 to 5 wins based on that. Maybe 3 to 6 wins based on that. And that's huge. It doesn't sound like a lot of wins in baseball. It really doesn't when you say, well, it's only 4 or 5 wins. That's big time. That goes from 88 to lower 90s. I don't know if it's necessarily one way or the other, the numbers or just their personnel. But it tended to work last year. And it didn't just work for this team. Tampa was doing it. There were some other teams that were tinkering with that idea. But I see them, based on the personnel, the Davies, the Chase Andersons, and these guys, I see them doing the same thing. I really do. They don't have that guy you hand on the ball and say, hey, man, we'll see you in 7 1/3. They just don't have that. Based on, you know, the fact that it might be a personnel issue, I really don't care. Honestly, I don't. Get the wins. The offense, I think, we're all pretty content with. But it's that pitching and the handling of the pitching that's going to make the difference here in 2019.
Tim, are there any of these proposed changes, or at least these ideas that are being floated around, are there any that you like, whether it's everyone doing the DH or what was the pitcher one, where guys have to face a minimum of 3 batters as a pitcher, or the runner on second base to start extra innings? We see all these sort of nifty ways that Rob Manfred's trying to quirk up the game of baseball. Is there anything that you've heard as far as changes that you like, or are they all stupid like I think?
Well, I like the fact that they throw these things out there to talk about them. I mean, you know, it's times change and the game has changed a little bit, but you know, facing 3 batters minimum unless the inning ends, not a big fan of that. I actually like a little bit of the cat and mouse game. The DH, that can just sit where it's at. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I do and have been a proponent of some sort of pitching clock. And they will scream that it's a health issue, and I don't buy that because, you know, some guys like to pitch at a better rhythm and other guys like to take their sweet old time. I think that ultimately is probably where the game is going to head, to where there's some sort of time factor involved, at least on the pitching side of things. I don't know if the Players Association is going to dig that at all, but I like that one.
Tim Allen, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We will hear from him plenty this season. I think he may be a little more optimistic than those of us here on the show. That's something we'll dive into in the coming days and weeks. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
Miss something on The Fan? Just go to 1057fmthefan.com and click on demand. Powered by John Paul's Buick GMC on Highway 100, Greenfield.
What you doing, Bob?
Ordering flowers for my sweetheart.
Oh, that's nice.
Why are you saying it like that?
How long you been together? Exactly. Maybe it's time for something better than flowers.
Okay, like?
I got my sweetheart a new SUV.
Oh, wait a second. You know, Katie did mention how she's not happy with her car.
Check this offer from John Paul's Buick GMC. Get 20% in savings on the 2019 GMC Sierra SLT Crew, or up to 18% off on select 2019 GMC Acadias or Terrains in stock.
20% for a GMC Sierra SLT Crew Cab, or 18% either GMC Acadias or Terrains? Oh, she'll love her ride. Love the savings, and love me more.
The John Paul Sweetheart Sales Event, happening now at John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100, just north of Beloit Road. JohnPaulsAutomotive.com.
John Paul's Buick GMC.
Get her a car, and you're a sweetheart for life.
Sierra stock number GC9825. Acadia stock number 7531. Terrain stock number GC7601. Finance through GM Financial for down payment assistance rebate. To approved credit includes all rebates. Tax, title, license, and service fees not included. Offer ends 2/28/2019.
Tax reform impacts virtually every tax return this year. That means yours, too. If you're wondering what that means for you and your refund, but don't want to spend hours reading the tax code, head over to H&R Block. No one knows tax reform better than Block. Their tax pros will help you find every credit and deduction available, so you get every dollar you deserve. Because wouldn't you rather spend more time thinking about what to do with your maximum refund and less time figuring out what a TCJA qualifying eligible dependent is? Hint, it's your kid. In person or online, Block has your back.
The job of looking for your career just got easier. The Milwaukee Virtual Job Fair. Sit back, turn on your computer, and they come to you. Oh, look, there's another one. When you visit the Milwaukee Virtual Career Fair, you'll find booths from employers with hundreds of openings, all that need to be filled immediately. VirtualCareerFair.com. Our virtual job fair may just be the most realistic approach to finding a new job. Log on right now to apply for your next job at VirtualCareerFair.com.
Big one.
I plan to stop smoking, so I lost my train of thought.
No worries.
Most don't get it on the first try. But if you keep trying to quit smoking, you can succeed.
Take two.
I plan to stop smoking, so I keep my hands busy when I have the urge to smoke. Like, I play with pencils, and I've broken a bunch. But hey, if it helps me break this addiction, it's worth it.
Get tips to help you quit at everytrycounts.gov.
So here's a hard question. Did you hit your sales number last month? If you didn't, maybe what you need is better training. At Sandler Sales Training Waukesha, we're your go-to for getting it done. Discover how to attack your sales goals with Sandler confidence. Get started now with our free report on why salespeople fail. Get yours at freesaleshelp.com. That's freesaleshelp.com. Sandler Sales Training, Waukesha.
The Bucks go for win number 43, look to close out the first half of the season with a win tonight in Indiana when they take on the Pacers. It's a 6 p.m. tip immediately following the game. Tune into the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show right here on The Fan. We'll go inside the locker room, take your phone calls and more. It's all coming up tonight here on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Winks things for me on Twitter. Chuck said Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvath, our producer at Ryan Horvath. Y'all get your own names. I have to go with Winks things.
There's only one other Ryan Horvath on the planet. He's an NHL hockey player. So,
and
he's
really?
Way better looking than me, and like chicks love him.
Yeah. Like a current player?
Yeah, he currently plays right now. I probably should have told girls that was my brother rather than telling people I was Mark Pryor back in the day.
Yeah, you're not Mark Pryor.
Definitely not.
Who's he play for?
That's a great question.
Get him on the show.
Ryan Horvath?
Yeah. He can host next week's Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything.
Yeah.
He's only a left wing for the Panthers.
The Panthers, thank you. Yeah. He's a good looking dude. You know, I don't judge men, but anybody with the last name Horvath, he's obviously Slovenian, so he's got the nice skin.
Yeah.
Beautiful voice.
Slovenian?
Hardworking. Yeah, well, half Slovenian, half Croatian.
It's your mom's side who's Gillespie?
They're Irish, actually, so I got like 20% Irish, too. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So my grandmother's side of the family, they're Croatian. My grandfather's side is Slovenian, and Croatians and Slovenian people hate each other. So, like, the two families hate each other. Oh. It's kind of like West Side Story, you know, without the finger snapping. And
okay.
A lot of layers to this onion over here.
Yeah, really.
Jeez. What did we miss today?
Not a whole lot, because we hit on pretty much everything
other
today.
Than your ethnicity.
Yeah. New Arizona Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury. A lot of people have opinions on him. Everybody's saying he's going to draft Kyler Murray. He says no. They're sticking with Josh Rosen. He said our feelings toward Josh haven't changed or anything like that. I get we have the first pick in the draft, so there's going to be a million scenarios over the next 3 months that are going to come up. But no, Josh is our guy. So yeah. Are you buying that? No Kyler Murray?
Well, I mean, you're a fool if you skip by Kyler Murray, because this guy, I think too much is being held on his height there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 5'9", 5'10", whatever it is. But, you know, look at him. If he's the guy, you would take him over that Josh Rosen any day of the week.
I actually had this hot take last year that Josh Rosen was going to be the best quarterback out of the bunch. I wish I could walk that back.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't.
I think Murray is the guy. Kyler Murray? Jeez.
So it's funny that we're talking about his
great
height,
athletes.
But Chuck, earlier we were talking about Marcus Howard. We were like, I think he's just too small to play in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So you're buying into the quarterbacks now because of Russell Wilson?
Look at Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
There was a stat I saw the other day. He had 5 deflected passes at the line of scrimmage. That's it for a guy 5'9"?
Yeah.
There are taller quarterbacks than him who had worse college football stats.
That's true, and a couple of them came against Alabama, and that defensive line is pretty much an NFL.
Well, Russell Wilson was still a third-round pick. I mean, Kyler Murray to go number one is...
Not happening.
Well, it could. Kingsbury has been very glowing about him before.
Dude, we will see. But as far as Marcus Howard, a 5'9", I'm not saying Marcus Howard can't play in the NBA, but the height is going to be one thing. You know, his handle is another thing. You know, whether or not he can handle the basketball at the NBA level.
Yeah, and he's too small to guard a two. That's the problem, and I think he has limited skills.
That's
going to
be tough.
Guard.
I mean, he's small, man.
And somebody brought up Trae Young, and I'm like, even Trae Young's 6'2", which that's what it says on paper, meaning he's probably 6 foot. So if Marcus Howard is 5'11", 5'10", then what is he in real life, 5'8"?
All right, 5'8", 5'9", I want to say.
I thought this was a weird thing that the Cardinals tweeted out yesterday, because Cliff Kingsbury was asked about Rosen, said, Josh is our guy. So the Arizona Cardinals made a graphic out of it, tweeted it out, and then they put, y'all are having fun with speculation, but, and then the picture, Josh is our guy. So the Arizona Cardinals, imagine the Packers, like we're talking about Rodgers in the future.
Yeah.
Imagine the Packers tweeting out, y'all are having fun with speculation, and it's a picture of Mike McCarthy saying, I get along with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that would just be weird.
Sure. Sure.
But that's what the Cardinals are essentially doing, and that leaves themselves open to when Rosen does get traded for Kyler Murray, they're going to look stupid.
It could be, yeah.
Why even put that out there?
But to say, can this guy play pro? Who would have guessed that Dwayne Wade was going to be a future Hall of Famer coming out of Marquette?
Do you think Charlie Ward would have been a good NFL quarterback?
Don't know.
He wasn't a good NBA point guard.
Well, he's an average point guard on those Knicks teams.
The only thing I remember is that he was kind of involved in that big fight.
He was great at Florida State as a football player.
The Pelicans got lit up last night, 118-88 by the Magic. After the game, Anthony Davis said, "We suck. Nobody was interested in playing. It is what it
was." Was that a home game? He was booed.
They were at home, yeah.
He was booed. Did he get booed again? The other night, in his debut, since the trade request, he got booed every time he touched the basketball.
Yeah, and they didn't play him in the fourth quarter. Yeah, he had 30.
But he had like 25 in the first half.
Exactly.
And they were still booing him.
Chuck and Winkler, we'll talk some more Badgers. Ethan Happ, 7:35 tomorrow. Ben Wargle will join us. We'll also take a look at the NBA All-Star Game, maybe throw around some money, talk Bucks Pacers. We're back tomorrow at 6.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.